Hi, I'm Isabella Chan, and I'm going to be talking about maternal experiences of violence and their impacts on maternal decision-making regarding prenatal care and delivery care in the rural Peruvian Andes. So starting off with a little bit of a brief I have no relationship to disclose. But starting off with some brief background on maternal health in Peru, every day worldwide, 800 women die from pregnancy or childbirth-related complications, and about 99% of these maternal mortalities occur in the developing world, where more than half of births are absent of skilled attendants. And as a result, maternal mortality is the single largest cause of death among women of childbearing age in developing countries. So in South America, Peru's maternal mortality rate remains the second highest in the region, at an estimated 185 to 240 deaths per 100,000 live births. And this is despite significant economic growth in the country and a number of targeted maternal health programs and interventions. Undoubtedly, a lot of these programs have had positive impacts on maternal health and survival, but these benefits have primarily been in urban and coastal areas, and the Ministry of Health actually estimates a twofold increase in maternal risk in rural areas as compared to urban ones. And so to understand this striking disparity, it's important to examine the sociocultural, economic, and political nuances of Peru in order to understand the health consequences of social inequality that are shaped by these larger scale political, economic, and sociocultural forces. So just looking briefly at the Peruvian context, more than half of the 30 million people that live in Peru live in poverty, and roughly half of Peru's population is indigenous, which is defined by their primary use of an indigenous language, and about three quarters of the indigenous population live in rural areas. Additionally, about 60% of indigenous households in Peru live in poverty as compared to 40% of non-indigenous households. And so these disparities result in fewer personal and public resources to draw from for health care, and an analysis of health facilities, resources, and funding show a disproportionate focus on urban and coastal populations, which further exacerbates the dearth in public resources. In large part, this is due to a long legacy of ethnic discrimination, and further compounding these struggles in the lives of rural indigenous women is the effect of gender inequality as it coalesces with economic disenfranchisement and ethnic discrimination. Girls in extreme poverty in Peru attend school at a rate of 80% of their male counterparts, and according to recent census data, 40% of women in the rural Peruvian Andes do not have sole or even joint control over their health decisions. So as you can see, ethnicity and gender are clearly associated with higher rates of poverty, reduced access to resources, and limited power and participation in indigenous women's decision-making about their health. So just briefly looking at birth, the discourse of pregnancy and childbirth in the rural Peruvian Andes traditionally, women have long received prenatal care and delivery attendance with community midwives, often in the context of their own homes. And so socioculturally, this plays an important role in women's birth experiences because, as Bridget Jordan and others have noted, birth is more than just a biological experience, but it also has major social components. But however, as the next slide discusses, international health policies are rapidly shifting these birth practices, and Peru is no exception. So taking a look at the broader context of maternal health initiatives, there are a variety of global discourses and goal-setting efforts, like the Millennium Development Goals, that have established maternal health as global priorities. Additionally, the International Conference on Population and Development made equality and empowerment of women a central issue, particularly in regards to reproductive health and their rights, through universal access to reproductive and sexual health and family planning services. On the national level in Peru, these global health discourses have become programs like Par Salud, and also the Ministry of Health in the early 2000s was calling for a strategic alliance to promote biomedical prenatal care and institutional delivery for all pregnant women as strategies to decrease maternal mortality and improve maternal health. Additionally, social support programs have joined these efforts to promote institutional birth, such as Seguro Integral de Salud, which is similar to the U.S. Medicaid program, and it extended health care coverage to all pregnant women, regardless of income. But it's important to note that this is only biomedical care that's covered. So as global forces are changing these local environments, understanding women's decision-making processes and their struggles for survival and accommodation is vital to reducing maternal mortality and morbidity and improving overall health outcomes. So the data I'm presenting here today come out of a broader research study that examined the social determinants of maternal health. And briefly, you can see the objectives on the left. And I also employed primarily qualitative research methods, including 39 semi-structured interviews and 7 participatory action research workshops over about 4 months of field work. These are the demographics from the interview participants. I did not collect demographic data from the workshop participants. And 30 women participated in interviews, 10 from each of the communities I was working in. They range in age from 19 to 49, a mean age of 31, 1 to 6 children each, and with a mean of 2 children, and 71 pregnancies and 67 live births were recorded, and these occurred between 1981 to 2012. And about 3/4 of these took place in a biomedical setting, and the other, and the last 24% in an alternative setting. I also interviewed 3 obstetricians, 1 skilled nurse, 2 midwives, and 3 social workers. And while the broader research examined women's decision-making, today I'm presenting on findings regarding experiences of discrimination, coercion, and violence, which were unanticipated themes that arose during somatic analysis. So explicit ethnic discrimination was observed primarily during participant observation in health-related events and during informal conversations with healthcare providers, in which they often referred to indigenous women as ignorant, stubborn, and culturally backwards. When they often explained that the women did not understand the health advice that they were given and that they did not follow it because of their cultural practices. One local social worker and obstetrician said, this quote up top, here in general, the communities of the Cajon, these women have their inherited customs that they believe in. For them, these are correct. And in this quote, you can see this clear division that Sandra, which is a pseudonym, that she places between the local women and herself when she uses terms like these women. And patient-provider disconnects like this reveal a significant gap in communication and understanding. On top of these challenges are women's limited autonomy over their own health, and a longtime social worker, Milagro, observed that women do not make their own decisions, who makes their decisions for them. If they live with their mother-in-law makes the decision, or their husband. So on top of the challenges that women are facing in the biomedical setting, there are also barriers at the household level that prevent women from having personal autonomy over their own body and health. On the institutional level, financial and social coercion played substantial roles in women's decision-making, and these took the forms of fines, removal from social support programs, and the withholding of birth documentation as a consequence of either not attending all prenatal exams or giving birth outside of a biomedical facility. And often community surveillance by neighbors and other community members are how health workers were informed of hidden pregnancies, which demonstrates the social component as well. In discussing her birth choice, Carmen, she said, it's obligatory, they force us to go, so that they'll give you the papers. When you don't have this, she's referring to a birth certificate, they don't give you the items, referring to the social program benefits, so you have to. There's also a fine. Also, Jorge, a local obstetrician, echoed these sentiments regarding government mandates and oversight, going even further to explicitly identify government control over women's bodies. He said, if you don't go to all of your controls, which are prenatal exams, or if you deliver at home, they penalize you in Paso de Leche, they don't give you the benefits, and juntos. It practically says in their objectives that the women attend all of their prenatal controls so that the women have an institutional birth, so that the child is born just to be born, not when they want, but at the time that they are told. And so these fines and other punitive measures demonstrate women's experiences of structural violence and the institutionalization of ethnic, gender, and socioeconomic discrimination. Moreover, despite the pushes for institutional birth and these punitive consequences, national efforts such as PAR-SALUD and other maternal health programs have done little to expand the accessibility and availability of biomedical services, particularly in rural and economically disenfranchised parts of the country. And so women face continued physical and financial barriers to biomedical care despite these national mandates. And when women do seek biomedical care, they face additional challenges and novel contexts that are rapidly becoming new settings for further disempowerment settings of discrimination and violence that women often describe as unfamiliar and frightening. So in fact, nearly three quarters of participants reported feeling afraid and frightened during the birth process. And as mentioned earlier, the major shifts in birth practices towards institutionalizing delivery have seriously impacted women's experiences. Many women in rural Peru have minimal exposure to biomedical practices and personnel, with many participants in this study reporting that their first biomedical encounter was during pregnancy, and the majority of providers are not from the local community, but rather coastal Spanish-speaking population or Spanish-speaking areas. And in these areas, the women, whilst often speak Spanish, are primarily Quechua speakers. And so considering this unfamiliarity in conjunction with poor patient-provider relationships, a lack of respect for local cultural norms observed by midwives, one can also, one can imagine why women are feeling afraid. However, added to this fear are frequent stories of physical and verbal abuse that women experienced and or observed in the clinical setting. For example, one woman shared during a workshop that they treated me badly, but what I saw with the other girls who were crying, they were desperate in pain, and it was to the point where they were slapped in the face. When I was watching, they, referring to the nurses, said, "Shut up. This is what you wanted. This is why you got married, your husband. For this, you opened your legs to be here. Hold on and push." So on the broader level, development-oriented emphasis on modernizing and institutionalizing pregnancy and childbirth to combat maternal mortality and morbidity has led to the excessive medicalization and depersonalization of traditionally intimate life events, which further silences women's voices in this ongoing debate on reproductive and maternal health policies. And as participating women's stories demonstrate, their decision-making regarding their bodies and their babies is shaped by their socioeconomic status, ethnicity, and gender. Looks like I'm running out of time, so I just want to emphasize that these structural factors are further compounded by the delegitimization of rural Andean women's cultural birth practices, as well as this unethical treatment that they're report experiencing, and that these research results demonstrate that broad-level political, economic, and sociocultural forces have coalesced in the lives of rural Andean women to transform the physical, social, and emotional experiences of pregnancy and childbirth into political, dehumanized spaces of policy fulfillment, which are focused on meeting objectives and outcomes that are determined by these global and arguably Western ideologies. And ultimately, this research demonstrates the importance of incorporating community voices in the implementation of local maternal health efforts in order to facilitate open conversations on how to jointly improve the maternal experience and reduce barriers to accessing adequate and appropriate maternal care. Because of time limitations, I won't go into some of the details of this from this research project, but if you're interested, I'd love to talk more about it afterwards. I just wanted to say thank you to my funders and my thesis committee, and